You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Hope you like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have back singer-songwriter Zach Landers to finish up our conversation from last week about some of his recently released tunes. Zach will be performing at the First Friday for Folk Music concert a week from this Friday, June 5th, at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah, with the second set that evening beginning at 8:30 p.m. Welcome back to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Zach Landers.
Pleasure being here, Dave.
Well, let's just dive back into the songs. There's a song which is very pointed, and it's called The Point. And it's about a person coming to realize what the point of life is all about. But this person has been through a lot of different situations where it was clear he didn't see the point. He was very selfish. But now, toward the end of his life, he's becoming sensitive to what the point of life is all about.
You're right. And that is the powerful message in that song of the selfishness, and then realizing that, you know, there's a bigger point to life, and he gets it at the end. But I had someone ask me once, they said, Zach, is that a true story? And I said, yes, it is, but it's just not about me. In fact, it's about three separate situations, even though the song comes across as about, you know, one person, but it was three very real situations where, you know, the first part, the young man is in trouble with the law all the time and gets put to jail, and later realizes, you know, that the judge says to him, well, you got to see the point. Now, the point is you can't keep coming into this courtroom without I send you to jail. And then the second verse talks about an individual that is crawling up the interstate overpass. He's apparently going to jump into his life, and someone pulls him down, and he's looking at the person going, look, what's the point? My life is over. I have nothing more to give life. I have nothing more to live for. Just let me go. I need to go. I need to do this. And then the third verse is about a gentleman who ends up with cancer, and the doctor comes to him and says, you know, I hate to tell you this. It breaks my heart too, but you know, you've got cancer. And when you say the C word, the first thing you think of is how long do I have to live? And that gentleman says, you know, right then I got the point. I got the point that life is precious. It's special. We've got to live it every day to our fullest. We've got to be good to others. We've got to look at the hearts of men. If we say something, we got to mean what we say. We've got to find our friends that we maybe have disappointed in life and bring them back together. So that's it's a very special song to me. And a lot of folks request that song because they can relate to stories, you know, even though it's written as if there's one person from their situation, but it's actually three separate situations that I put together. And a lot of songs are like that. I think I'm not the only writer that does that, that takes various situations and pull them together in one song.
Yeah. And in this song, the realization at the very end is tell my loved ones I love them more each day. And then to realize that every sunrise is something to be joyful about.
Absolutely. You're right. And that's the feeling. I think that's the meaning of life. I think we're here for a few reasons, but mainly we're here to teach others or to learn lessons. And I think we've all been on both sides of that situation where that, you know, we've learned lessons in life. We've learned how to handle situations. We've learned if someone's hurt, how to help heal that. And at the same time, through those experiences, we can teach others. So we're here to learn. We're here to teach. And I think that is the beauty of life, is as we travel this journey, we're going to encounter lots of things like that. And I'm just happy. I feel blessed as a songwriter to be able to, you know, get those feelings and pull them together into song. from different perspectives.
When that judge looked right at me, said, "Son, you just don't get it. 3 times in my courtroom in 1 year is way too many. I'm gonna have to lock you up. Maybe someday you will see the point. You'll see the point. The point that you can't go through life living like you're living. The point that you can't always take. You've got to do some giving. The point to be responsible, respect your fellow man. That's the point. That's the point." Years later, climbing up that freeway overpass, knowing that the sunset there before me was my last. And when that stranger pulled me down, I tearfully just asked him, "What's the point? What's the point?" The point is I've hit bottom, I don't have the will to live. The point, my life is hopeless, I have nothing left to give. The point of no returning, hoping God would just forgive me. That's the point. That's the point. That's the point. A few months ago, my doctor just quietly dropped his head. "These x-rays in my hand," he said, "they don't look good, my friend. My whole life passed before me, and I knew right then I'd reach the point. I'd reach the point. The point that life is precious, we should live it day by day. The point to count my blessings and to take the time to pray. To try and be a better man in every way. That's the point. That's the point. Oh, the point to say just what I mean just what I say. The point to heal some friendships that I had thrown away. And the point to help a struggling soul trying to find their way. That's the point. That's the point. That's the point. The point to tell my loved ones I love them more each day. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful sunset that I saw yesterday."
The next song I'd like to talk about is called Turn Around. And this song, Turn Around, is, again, a very fascinating song because it's someone who too late realizes about their behavior. Because it starts out by saying, "Yesterday when you said you loved another, I could not believe it's true." Then he starts going through all the things that he was negligent about.
That's right.
And basically, I think understanding why the situation is the way it is now, but still pleading to turn it around.
Absolutely. I think someone wrote a song years ago that says, "It's not what I did, it's what I didn't do." And that's sort of the feeling of this song where that, you know, he realizes when she's moved on that he should have done those things. He should have held her more tightly. He should have brought her roses on their anniversary. He should have at least remembered her birthday and little things like that. And then he's leaving and he turns around and he's crying. He said, "Look at these tears in my eye. I'm so hurt." And he realizes that he should have done more to maintain the love between him and his love.
Yeah, doing the simple things you ask me to do.
Absolutely. Just simple things. You're right. It doesn't have to be big. She probably just, again, wanted him, when he's sitting on the porch swing, to hold her hand more. When she had a birthday, just to wish her a happy birthday. Or when they had an anniversary, just to, if just one flower, pick a flower out of the yard Doesn't have to be a big expensive. Okay, just remember, just validate me, make me feel special. And when that he failed to do those things, I guess she her heart went to someone else. She loved another, and she told him, "Look, I'm in love, a different direction because you've done these things that you didn't do."
When you said you loved another, I could not believe it true. Though so many nights I left you home all alone and feeling blue. And the simple things you asked of me while on the porch swing holding hands, I never thought that there would come a day when you would love another man. So turn around, you will see these teardrops in my eyes. Turn around and you will see these arms held open wide. I took your love for granted, now you're walking out on me. Turn around and you will see the biggest fool you'll ever see. I forgot to bring you flowers on our anniversary. You were so deserving to be loved, and even so much more. You don't hesitate, it's too late as you're walking out that door. So turn around and you will see these teardrops in my eyes. Held open wide. I took your love for granted, now you're walking out on me. Turn around and you will see the biggest fool you'll ever see. Yes, I took your love for granted, now you're walking out on me. Turn around and you will see the biggest fool you'll ever see.
One of the things I wanted to talk about too was the instrumentation of each of these songs, because it varies quite a bit from song to song to song, really featuring that sound which goes best with the song. For instance, going back to Make This Honky Tonk My Home, you got a great honky tonk piano. And there's another song we'll talk about later that has a lot of strings in it. How did you go about recording these songs?
Well, I've got a really good producer, engineer outside of Atlanta, Georgia, John Johnson. He is awesome. For those that don't know how that a song's recorded, it's recorded in layers. So John and I sit down a day or so before the recording date, and we figure out the best sound for those lyrics. And he's really good about saying, look, I can bring in a fiddle player, or he actually plays the piano, and he's the one that plays that honky-tonk style in that song. He said, I'll bring in, the instrument or the band for different songs. And of course, we usually do within a few days, we'll do two songs. It takes a while. You just don't walk in to sing and leave. It takes a while to do the song and go back and do the harmonies. But he's been very helpful there on helping me get the best sound out of the songs. And he don't use the same band all the time. He used, or, a session band, session players. He uses different ones, but he's so well respected in the area. He's located in Covington, Georgia, and he's been working with me for, oh my gosh, I would say almost 20 years. And, he's helped me, and I do a lot of recording at his studio. Well, most of the things on the albums that I have out there have been recorded at John Johnson's studio there in Covington, Georgia. John's really good about feeling the feeling. And of course, I go in just with an acoustic guitar and I sing it to him and kind of tell him what I have in my head, what I'm hearing. And then he tells him what he's hearing. Then we debate back and forth so we can come up with the very, very best. And so we get the tracks laid down, all the musical tracks laid down. And then I come in and lay down my voice. And then we come back and he and I lay down the harmonies on it before it's all mixed. But we try to get that feeling out there. You're right. There's some that start out with that honky-tonk feeling. Some start out with a religious feeling. You know, they're all different, and we don't go at it with that in mind, but that's how it comes out.
And the instrumentation, again, I hate to perseverate on this, but the instrumentation is just so wonderful. There's one song that's very stringy. It feels like a whole orchestra is there. There's another one that sounds more bluegrassy, and the featured instrument seems to be the mandolin.
Yeah, we have there's actually I've been very fortunate to have some folks out of Branson, Missouri, the fiddle player that played with Mel Tillis for many, many years. I was fortunate to have him play on a couple of my songs, and he plays the mandolin on the Two Nickels song that I wrote about my mother, and he does a great job on that. So we were able to bring him in, and he spent a couple of days with us putting in the fiddle on that song. Then we had him actually lay down some fiddle tracks for some songs that we hadn't recorded yet. We had him layered up on track so that we were able to pull that fiddle in when we needed it in there to mix into that song, or John was able to do so.
And the next song I want to talk about, the first thing after hearing this song, I was saying, this guy knows Austin, Texas. And it's called Austin, about a fellow
Yes.
who was stranded in Austin, was walking down
Absolutely.
the street. And why I say that was his, you know, he's walking down Sixth Street and he's crossing Congress. And anybody who knows Austin knows that Sixth Street is sort of like our River Street. You can't walk down Sixth Street without live music coming out of every bar you walk by down Sixth Street.
Yeah, that's interesting that you picked that song to talk about. That song, I'll tell you how that song came about. I was there in Austin on business. Austin has a lot of homeless, a huge homeless population. You get cities like Austin, you get Denver, you get Miami. There's just certain cities that have a lot of homeless in there. And Austin's has a huge homeless population. But I was sitting at the red light there, and I looked over to the right, and there were some homeless folks sitting there. And there was one gentleman I saw there that he was dressed a little better than a lot of the other homeless, so I could tell that he hadn't been homeless too long. I could just see that. But he was playing his guitar, and about that same time, a beautiful lady that passed walking up the sidewalk with her briefcase, and she was dressed impeccably. Like she looked like she might be a lawyer or something like that. But when she passed, he looked at her and just kept staring the whole way that she passed. And when she got several yards away, she looked back at him and smiled, and then she went on. I thought, wow, now there's a situation and there's a story. So I remembered going to the hotel that night. I always travel with a guitar all the time, but getting out my guitar and wrote that song in just a few minutes. Actually, I had a lot more verses to it, and a lot of songs do that. So I had to go back and scale it down to try to get the essence of the song. I think we did a good job there, but he was homeless. She was, oh my gosh, I guess wealthy. And Austin has has an area, up in the Lake Travis area, some big, beautiful homes. So I had it pictured. She lived up there in that area. And you're right, Sixth Street, everyone knows that street. They know Congress Street. They know the bars around there. And I thought, let's have her go into one of the bars and him come in there. And then in the storyline that she ends up telling him, look, I got a husband that's out of town. He's in Boston, and I like to have a little company. But she knows it the whole time that he's just passing through, that he's homeless, or he's working on a construction site or something along those lines. And also, right off of Congress Street, there's the overpass there. I-35 runs right through Austin. It's double decked, and on parts of it, there's some homeless that live underneath the interstate there to keep dry. And if you ever go to Austin, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. She knew what he was all about. She tells him, she said, look, I know you're just passing through. And she said, but I'm lonesome. So, and there's a play on words. He's going to find paradise. Pearl's the lady's name in the song. And there's a lot of double meanings on all the words there. But he does go home with her. She's got a beautiful place, and they have a good time together. Then the next morning, she drops him off again down at the same place she found him. And that's where he is.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that there's homeless who are under that I-35 overpass, who stay out of the rain, and then that's where she drops him off.
That's right. And another thing that I kind of tied in with that song is that when they're in that cafe or that bar, they meet and talk for the first while. They look up and they see a blind man, and he's walking across the bar, and he's got his cane, and he goes to the door and said he can smell the rain. Well, that's setting up the story about it gonna rain, and then the rain is also going up to her castle, like home, where she reigned.
The other thing about this song I really love is your storytelling. and you're bringing in characters, and you have sort of a whole life story in just a line or two. I mean, Pearl, you learn about her interactions with her husband, and she may be actually one of the women who's from a previous song we talked about, maybe being ignored. It sort of got the feeling that she maybe even feels lonely when her husband is home, because, you know, she says mighty lonesome. And so there's a story just in a couple lines. And then you wonder about who is, maybe he's on the road. He's apparently homeless, but he's got a guitar and he sings Brown Eyed Girl to her to affect her emotionally.
Right.
And so, and what's his story? And there's a rich story perhaps there. And then the including of the blind man who comes to the door and says he smells the rain. That was just a wonderful little insertion to get one point across. Yes, that it's going to rain, and, you know, homeless need to be protected from the rain, and then it rains later in the song. But you wonder about who that blind man is. You know, is he always a customer there? He seems to be comfortable with that environment. The fact that he would go to the door and say that, to me, suggests that he's very comfortable in that. So he's probably someone that comes to that bar a lot. And you said, and there's like a whole story there.
Absolutely. You're right. And, you know, he could be anyone. And the way I envisioned the situation, he was a regular there because he was able to get up pretty quickly and move to the door to see if he could smell the rain. But I, that came about just, I thought that I had to have something to transition to say that it was going to rain there. You know, otherwise, why would you be talking about the rain? But when he said, "I think I smell it," then it kind of, the singer comes to realization that, you know, that's where we go to sleep at night instead of getting wet. We go under the overpass. And, you know, everything that's mentioned in that bar is true. There's one thing. I did name the bar a different name, but there is a bar that I used as point in my mind writing the song, but I didn't want to put that bar's name in there. So I made up a name, a fictitious name for that particular location.
I was stranded down in Austin, not a nickel to my name. I thought I'd hurry down to 6th Street where musicians run their game. And as I was crossing Congress, I saw a brown-haired girl, and I didn't know her name, but found out later it was Pearl. When we crossed the street, we went into Mickey's bar. She ordered up a glass of wine. I took out my guitar. I started strumming Brown Eyed Girl, and she turned her big brown eyes, and her stare just burned a hole in me, deep as paradise. Oh, I'm stranded down in Austin, not a better place to be. Ain't got a nickel to my name, but at least tonight I'm free. If the stars light up for me, Pearl might take me home to paradise for a night so she won't be alone. I'm stranded down in Austin, alone and a mighty long way from home. Well, about the time her wine kicked in, she cracked a big old smile. She said, "I'll take a guess, you're here in town for just a while." Said, "My husband's up in Boston, been 2 weeks that he's been gone. And a girl gets mighty lonesome in a big house all alone." Then a blind man at his table picked up his long white cane, and as he tapped toward the door, said he could smell the rain. And I thought about that overpass on 8th and 35, where the homeless go to sleep at night so they can all keep dry. Oh, I'm stranded down in Austin, not a better place to be. Ain't got a nickel to my name, but at least tonight I'm free.
If the stars line up for me, girl might take me home to paradise for a night so she won't be alone. I'm stranded down in Austin, alone and a mighty long way from home. Girl was full of passion as I held her close and tight. She had a yearning that I knew a rambling man could satisfy. We loved like thirsty lovers beneath the Texas sky. The next morning she dropped me off down at 8:35. So long, girl. Let's play it out now, fellas.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming. And it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going. And you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation. And thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
The Savannah African Art Museum will host its annual Juneteenth celebration on Saturday, June 13th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 201 East 37th Street. This free, family-friendly event invites the community to honor the past, celebrate progress, and reflect on the cultural significance of Juneteenth through art, storytelling, and shared experiences. More information is available at www.savannahafricanartmuseum.org. Theros Place, a nonprofit that provides residential services for survivors of human trafficking, will host an open house for those interested in learning more about volunteer opportunities, board committees, and the Courage Club from the board directors and the leadership team at Savannah Coffee Roasters, 215 West Liberty Street, Savannah, on Friday, June 5th from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. More information is available at therosplace.com.
This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December.
Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have back singer-songwriter Zach Landers to finish up our conversation from last week about some of his recently released tunes. Zach will be performing at the First Friday for Folk Music concert a week from this Friday, June 5th, at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah, with the second set that evening beginning at 8:30 p.m. And the next song I'd like to talk about is actually one you referred to before. And that's the one about your mother, and it's called Two Nickels. This is a real tearjerker.
Yeah, but Dave, I had a very, very special mother, and she worked hard for us. She raised, you know, three boys. I'm the oldest, but she was always at work, and you know, she worked, I guess we'd call it second shift. She'd go in at 2 and get off at midnight or 1 a.m. And of course, I always have to get the boys in the bed. The story is true. Mama works all the time. But when someone would ask her about her kids, she would always love to tell the story. My little boy's in baseball, and the next one's doing well. He made the all-star team. And at that time, I was actually singing from time to time on the local TV show there on WHMA TV there in Anniston, Alabama. But she would say, and that oldest one, he's the singer, and he was on TV last night. Did y'all see him? So all that story's true. But Mama did. She was really good about always, if we needed something, she would give it to us. And she seemed to always have change in her purse. And I remember if we would ask if we wanted money to go skating or something like that, she would say, I probably don't have it, but let's see what I have in the purse. And she'd dump that purse out. There'd be some change. And within that change, we'd be able to come up with that dollar we needed to go to the skating rink that night. And so Mama was like that. You know, if she had it, we could have it. And she did. She lived for us. I don't remember Mama ever buying a lot of new clothes. I don't remember her traveling anywhere extensively while we were growing up. I just knew her working and coming home. And, you know, she made sure that we had food to eat. She made sure that we had clothes that were washed and ironed and clean. And so Mama just gave her life for us. And so that line that says, down to her last two nickels, we could have a dime, meaning she would give us anything she had.
Heart so unselfishly, she always thought of us first every time. Down to her last two nickels, we always could have a dime.
I guess if there's truth in a song, that song is true from the beginning to the end.
She never made the paper, didn't make the evening news, and her picture never on a magazine. But she was more amazing than anybody ever knew. She could always find the good in anything. My mama could stretch a dollar until it nearly screamed. But times were hard then, that is what she had to do. See that we had Christmas all year long, she'd save her change. And like magic, Mama made our dreams come true. And she'd pray, dear Lord, let me live long enough to see my children grown. And I pray, Lord, you'll keep watch and you'll keep them from all. So unselfishly she always thought of us first every time. Down to her last two nickels, we could always have a dime. Her life providing for us kids, working day and night, waiting tables for most we tips. But she would light up like a Christmas tree when asked about us boys. Without a doubt, we were our mama's pride and joy. And she'd say, my one son made the all-star team, my baby's in third grade. And that oldest boy, yeah, the singer, he was on TV yesterday. So unselfishly she always thought of us first, every time. Down to her last two nickels, we could always have a dime. And she'd pray, Lord, let me live long enough to see my children grown. And I pray, Lord, you'll keep watch and you'll keep them from all harm.
lost thirst every time. Down to her last two nickels, we could always have a dime. Down to her last two nickels, we could always have a dime.
My question about autobiographical came from this one because you'd hinted that you had a couple brothers as growing up. And so this song immediately clicked in terms of, oh, yeah, three brothers. The oldest brother singing, that was part of your biography that you shared with us, singing on TV. And at the same time, a middle brother who, in this case, was an all-star player on their team. And then the youngest brother, who in this case was, I think, in third grade. And so you saw that spacing out of the brothers. And I said, that sounds awfully like what he was telling me.
Right. That's true. In fact, there's a lot more stories in there. She said, I've got some fried chicken that needs to be heated up, and I've got some mashed potatoes in there. And she said, by the way, Zach, make sure your brothers are in bed now by 8 o'clock. And I said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And then she would turn around. She said, this house better not be a mess when I get home tonight. So I can just see her saying that. She did it every time. It was just like religiously. That was Mama's move. She'd come back and she told me what. She said, the worst thing you can do after working and staying on your feet for 10 hours is to come home to a messy house. So we knew by the time we went to bed that we better make sure things were picked up, that we ran the dust mop on the floors, things like that, because we didn't want Mama to be mad or upset. So that was her one thing she asked us to do, is make sure the house was picked up before we went to bed.
And the next song is a song that you co-wrote with George Jones. That is the George Jones of Southern Comfort. And this speaks to the truckers that you had coming through and would stop and come into Southern Comfort, because it's Baby You Crank My Diesel. And so it is very oriented toward a trucker who is on the road, is missing his significant other. All he has in the back is an empty bed of 6-pack of Cokes and a loaf of bread. And, you know, that's why I'm so cranky, because I'm thinking, right, without you, I'm about to lose my mind.
That's right. And I'll tell you how that song was written. There's a story there. I was traveling in Texas at the time, and I was actually going out to Midland, Texas. To get to Midland, there's nothing in between, Dallas and Midland except, you know, highway. And George had actually just met, he was single at the time. His wife had passed away several years before, but he had met a lady that came to the club, and she was a very, very nice lady. In fact, she's awesome. Judy is absolutely amazing. But he had just met her. So he called me. We just got cell phones. That's right, because I had very bad connection. And I remember I said, let me get some place to call it. He said, look, I've got an idea, got a thought for a song, and I'm very excited about it. I said, okay. And I went to a truck stop. I do remember this well. I went to a truck stop. They had a little buffet, and I got some food to eat. And I was sitting there, and I called him, and I said, are you a place you can talk? And he goes, yeah, I'm good. Are you? And I said, yes, sir. I told him where I was and all that. And so he said, I got this song. He said, this lady I met, said, you know, she really, I tell you, we need to come up with something. He said, she cranks my diesel. And so I laughed, and he laughed. And I said, well, George, that's the premise of this song. And, you know, I sat there at that truck stop, and I turned over napkin after napkin. And we wrote that song over the phone. He was in Atlanta. I was near Midland, Texas, out in the middle of nowhere. And we wrote that song sitting right there over the phone. And we wrote the words to it. And then I said, you know, what do you think about it? You know, the tempo is, you know, da, 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 da. Like that. He goes, that's it. That's it. That's it. And so we made the song. We wrote it from start to finish right there at his truck stop out there. And he was at home in Atlanta. So we were thousands of miles apart and wrote the song as if we were sitting, you know, side by side.
I'm heading down the highway with a heavy, has been missing you more tonight. Nothing in my cabin but an empty bed, a 6-pack of Cokes, a loaf of bread.
tired and I'm so cranky that I'm thinking that without you gonna lose my mind. Baby, you crank my diesel. Baby, you honk my horn. You keep my head right steady. You make my engine moan. You got me counting down every minute till I bring this big rig home. Baby, you crank my diesel. Baby, you honk my horn. Turn it around now. See the blue lights right behind me. Guess I must pull over to see. The sheriff tapping at my window. He's asking for my ID. He said, trucker, you were pushing 80 when you topped that yonder hill. I said, I gotta get home to my baby. Ain't got a single minute to kill. Baby, you crank my diesel. Baby, you honk my horn. You keep my head right steady. You make my engine moan. You got me counting down every minute till I bring this big rig home. Baby, you crank my diesel. Till I bring this big rig home. Baby, you crank my diesel. Baby, you honk my horn.
There's a variety of love songs, but they're love songs each so unique in the perspective and the way that you approach the love song, which, and again, is another really amazing series of things with these songs. Because the next song I want to talk about was Bad Enough for Leaving. And this is, again, a really interesting love song. I put love in quotation marks. And because it's really about things are bad, but are they bad enough for leaving? But they don't seem to be bad enough for leaving, but they're really bad enough not to stay together. So it's this real conflict that the singer of the song is having.
You know, you're right. That's it. And that happens a lot in marriages or relationships to where you get to where you're like two ships passing in the night. That's the line in there. We're kind of relaxed here, but, you know, it's really not good enough to stay, but not bad enough to leave. And I came up with that line and I built the song around that. And I'm sure that people that are in that situation know exactly what I'm talking about when I say those words and when I talk about, you know, two ships passing the night, and they probably pass in the hallway or they haven't spoken in days, but yet it's not because they're mad. It's just they've let their love get to that level without, you know, watering it and nurturing it and pulling out the weeds and those type things. And that song is one that hits home with a lot of folks when they listen to it.
And again, the metaphors you have the two ships passing in the night, the stormy weather, you have, we try to find the flame, but that old fire just grows colder. There's nothing left for burning.
That's right. Yeah, I tell you, the thing that inspired me about that song, years ago, there was a song that Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty had that calls the, After the Fire's Gone, and I can hear them singing. Well, that's kind of the idea that got in my head, sort of. I thought, you know, that's where that line came from. I said, you know, that song inspired me years ago that says, you know, there's nothing but ashes after the fire is gone. And so in my song, I say there's not enough to keep the fire burning.
Hello, darling. I'm so sorry, but you and I both know that it's over. We just spend every day going through the motions. As we blindly watch our love fade away, we try to fan the flame, but that old fire just grows colder. There's nothing left for burning, I'm afraid. Guess we need to break the news to our closest friends and loved ones. Disappointed is what they'll surely say. Wondering where to lay the blame, that's what makes it all a shame. When things aren't bad enough for leaving, but they're not good enough to stay. When I said I do, I could see forever, but forever something I can't see today. We're like two ships that pass at night in stormy weather. Things aren't bad enough for leaving, but they're not good enough to stay. Ships that pass at night in stormy weather. Things aren't bad enough for leaving, but they're not good enough to stay. To stay.
And as I've been talking about, as we've been going through each song, the stories in the song are one of the things that I find most remarkable. And the next song is a story song with a double twist. And that's called Family Secrets.
Yes.
And this, again, takes place in Alabama because the narrator of the song asks a girl to marry him and has to bring her down to meet his family in Birmingham. And the first thing I thought of, oh, maybe they were in college, maybe at the University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa. Yeah, bringing them down from Tuscaloosa down to Birmingham to meet the family. And so then the dad pulls the son away to tell him that, indeed, he can't marry this girl because the girl is actually his sister because he'd had an affair with the girl's mother. Then he has to go tell his mother because his mother doesn't know about this. He has to go tell his mother. Well, his mother probably knew about this because she said, no, you can marry the girl because your father is not your father.
Right. Your daddy's not your daddy, boy. Go ahead and marry that girl.
Yeah.
You're right. That has a double twist there. And It always catches people at the end because you kind of, you get through the dad having an affair part. Okay, you understand that. You kind of settle yourself with that. But in the end, that mama comes back and says, go ahead and marry son. Your daddy's not your daddy. I've done just as bad in my direction as he's done in his direction. So you marry and have a good marriage and a happy life going forward.
Asked a girl to marry me, she said that she'd be mine. So I drove her down to Birmingham to meet my folks one night. They hit it off so well, like they'd known her all her life. Then I discovered something that took me by surprise. My daddy pulled me to the side, said, son, please understand. I ain't always been perfect, after all, I'm just a man. But you can't marry that girl, son, to do so would be wrong. You see, she is your sister, but your mama doesn't know. Those family secrets come to life and make yours a living hell. They'll justify what's swept aside and any tongue won't tell. You'll try to outrun them, but you won't get very far. No matter where you run to, there you are. Listen to me, son. No matter where you run to, there you are. To clear my mind, so I went out to take a walk. I had to tell my mama she's my mama after all. She said, go on, get married, boy, you see there's nothing wrong. Your daddy ain't your daddy, but your daddy doesn't know. Those family secrets come to life and make yours a living hell. They'll justify what's swept aside and many tongue won't tell. You'll try to outrun them, but you won't get very far. No matter where you run to, there you are. No matter where you run to, there you are. Well, I had to tell my story, every word of it is true. See, everybody has a past, including me and you. Well, half of all men stumble while the other half will fall. Without we face the music, we might never dance at all. Those family secrets come to life and make yours a living hell. Side and many tongue won't tell. You'll try to outrun them, but you won't get very far. No matter where you run to, there you are. No matter where you run to, there you are. Listen to me now. No matter where you run to, there you are.
And the last song I want to talk about is a song, again, that is in praise of music and the power that music has over people. And in this case, it's the power that that Atlanta honky-tonk Southern Comfort brought to people.
And it did. It was a very special place. And a lot of my formative years, musically speaking, that particular place had a lot of impact on me. There's a lot of stories there. In fact, within that one song, there are stories that I could actually write songs about or write a book about, because it's just full of stories like that. But the place was very special. And we had, after the establishment had closed down several years ago, we established a reunion. And I wrote that song for the reunion. And, everyone at the reunion there could relate to it. really, and it hits hard. I mean, it's a fun song. It's a song you dance to and have a good time, but it's really got a very deep meaning about Southern comfort, because it's true. It's one of those situations where the, I call it what the, you got the wealthy, the poor, you got, it's just a huge melting pot where a lot of individuals came together. And that was the feeling I wanted to get across in that song, that although it was a building that from the outside looked like an old truck stop, you know, building next to the truck stop, but when you got in there, it was huge, a huge bar. In fact, it's almost like an optical illusion, that place. You would pull up to it and go, this is just a little bar. And you go in, the bar is huge, but the bar's got a lot of stories in it.
On the south side of town, cross the county line, the joint is jumping every night about nine, when the band starts rocking, cranking out our favorite songs. So get your booty up and moving, we're heading to that honky tonk. They come from everywhere, every shape and size, rich or poor, you will soon realize. One way or another, everybody gets along. Pretty, pretty women, bad boys making noise, doing a little bit of old-time sinning. You can dance away your blues till the cows come home, chug a lug of mud and feel just fine, with a little Southern comfort and a honky-tonk and mighty fine time. She was winking at me, thought I was screwed on over, asked her if she was free. She said a $20 bill will get you 20 minutes loving of mine. Well, I had fun up to sunup, just dancing, never crossing that line. They come from everywhere, every shape and size, rich or poor, you will soon realize. One way or another, everybody gets along. Big head, tight jeans, and pretty, pretty women. Bad boys making noise, doing a little bit of old-time sinning. You can dance away your blues till the cows come home. Chug a lug of mud and feel just fine, with a little Southern comfort and a honky-tonking mighty fine time. With a little Southern comfort and a honky-tonking mighty fine time. With a little Southern comfort and a honky-tonking mighty fine time.
So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have been talking with now seemingly a friend, although we'd never met before, and that is Zach Landers. And because we've learned so much about Zach through his songs and through his telling us his story. But Zach will be performing on the First Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, June 5th at the First Presbyterian Church at 520 Washington Avenue in Savannah. Stuart Hall with the second set that evening, beginning at 8:30 p.m. And I want to thank you so very much, Zach, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here, Dave, and thank you for your time. And you've been just such a joy to talk with. You're right. Now you're a friend of mine, and we'll be friends for life. I feel great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one,
know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.